get that fever feeling when Sheffield Live is on the air. Hi, I'm Kelly Walker and you're listening to Sheffield Live.
The boy stood on the burning deck, but my name is Martin Simpson, and you're listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org, number one for Sheffield music.
Hello, this is Matt Elders from Arts and Monkeys. You're listening to Sheffield Live.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
Yeah, welcome to Sheffield Live. This is Sweet Talking Sport, and I've got my good friend right in the studio here, Mr. CV. It's been a long time, CV, since we've kind of graced these kind of studios, but I just want to say kind of enough respect for giving you spare time up.
Yeah, it's all right. I think it's since COVID, I believe.
Yeah, it's, what's that, 4 years or something like that since we've been back, since we've been back here. But yeah, so it's good to be back in the thick of things, in the hot seat, and we're not really going to waste any time at all. We've got, obviously, the Will Snooker Championships in Sheffield, and I just want to touch upon something what this snooker player said. I believe his surname is like Hossin, 29-year-old. And he made a comment by saying that the Crucible stinks. Now, rightly or wrongly, just want to get your kind of views on that. You know, yes, human rights, you know, from 1998, we've got Article 19. Just want to touch up on freedom to hold one's opinion. So is it right to just come out with that, saying that the Crucible stinks?
It's quite harsh, really. You know what he said? The Crucible stinks. Yeah, it's quite harsh. That, but you've just brought that up. That's his opinion, isn't it? That's his opinion. And as you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion, right? But it depends how hurtful that opinion can be. Really, but I don't know. I mean, I suppose if he's disgusted in the Crucible, is he disgusted in the surroundings? Is it the toilet? What is it that I'm not sure what.
Yeah, I kind of hear what you're saying on that. I mean, you know, like we said, you know, it's a freedom of speech and things like that, and Sean Murphy stepped forward and he said, listen, you know, if you don't like the Crucible, then don't bother, come. Basically, that's what Murphy's saying. So, little bit of friction in town. If you've just joined us, you're tuning in to Sweet Talking Sport on Sheffield Live, and we're just discussing a comment made from a professional snooker player. Now, with freedom of speech and everything, are we right to chastise the comment made from the snooker player? You know, so quite, some people might think it's kind of disturbing, really. But, you know, he can hold his opinion, he's got his views. And we're just sort of like exploring them views, what he said. So, I mean, yeah, snooker's been in Sheffield since the 70s. I think it was 77. And John Spencer beat Cliff Thorburn. Just going into the archives here, 25-21. In that first final at the Crucible. So, yeah, it's a bit kind of like hit and miss. whether people think, yeah, do you know what? It's up to him to make them kind of comments and stuff. Or should he just hold his corner and just kind of like think, well, yeah, maybe I need to keep that opinion to myself. But sports, full of opinions and stuff. And I think that's what makes it such an opinionated, ease of view on the eye. So, yeah, you know. I mean, for me, if you're going to make a comment like that and pass judgment, people are always going to say, well, yeah, you're out of order, don't bother come. But like I said, you know, with, you know, he's got a right to open his mouth, he's got a right to have an opinion, whether you sort of like believe in that opinion or not, that's a different matter, that's a different ball game. and jumping into, you know, like I said, Article 19, which we just touched upon, that saying, you know, well, a freedom of expression. And, you know, just like football's full of that.
What would you say his opinion is a constructive opinion? Is it going to make, by him saying the Crucible stinks, does that make it any better? Are they going to act on what he said?
I mean, I've not heard anything about whether they're going to act on it. I mean, it's only like what I've heard from Sean Murphy. You know, he's kind of like being the spokesperson. And he's just said, basically, you know, if you don't like the Crucible, then stop going down there. So I presume from what Murphy's saying, it's not the first time.
He's made them comments.
Or he's actually played at the Crucible. You know what I mean? Okay. I mean, if we was, say, on a panel or something like that, would we be looking to call Hossein in and say, look, you know, them kind of comments aren't welcome here? Or do we just turn a blind eye and think, well, he's entitled to it?
Well, sometimes if you turn a blind eye, that gives the green light for other people's opinions, which could be a lot more stronger than what he's coming out with. To where I've been hearing little stories about maybe in time to come, the Crucible might be a little bit too small for the world, for this World Snooker event, and they're looking at taking it to Dubai.
It's kind of interesting you've kind of touched upon that because, speculation says that China, or could even go to Saudi, and they're saying that the players over there get the VIP treatment. So whether they've been kind of sugar-coated with that and buttered up, I suppose if they're not getting the VIP treatment here in Steel City and they've had a taste of it on the circuit, maybe that's where it's going to head. And obviously the riches, the money over there is going to be probably maybe far greater than it is over here.
Yes, but you've got nostalgia, haven't we, really? This history in the Crucible and the World Snooker. You talk about World Snooker. I mean, I'm not a great fan of snooker, but if you mention snooker, World Snooker, first thing they come out with is the Crucible.
Mm.
Now, if they're saying then, well, oh, we're going to take it to China or whatever, is that going to lose the interest? Because I would say snooker has a pretty big following here in England. In fact, it has a major big following in England. I do believe it's now moved across to like places like China because of some of their successful players. But historically, snooker is here, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like we said, we go back to 77, you know, the days of Spencer, Cliff Thorburn, Ray Reardon,
yeah,
you know, Higgins, Thorburn, Kirk Stevens, you know, absolutely, you know, big on the circuit, and since 77 it's been here ever since. Over the years, they've kind of like, there's been big rumours, haven't there, that it could be the last one, or it's not going to be in Sheffield again. But I think as time moves forward, and, you know, like we said, the riches of China, or whether it's going to be Dubai or Saudi, who knows? I've got a feeling that it probably might end up going overseas, because the wage, what they can command over there, and what's on the table.
I understand.
It's massive.
I understand that. It's like everything else, isn't it? It's like you've got boxing. They've took boxing over there now. I know. Everybody says sometimes we have to move on. But I do believe, like I say, Sheffield, it's just something about it, and it's that nostalgia, it's that, yeah. It's just like going to Wembley, isn't it, really? Well, I don't know now, because Wembley's used for everything now, so I don't know now. But at one time, if you said you was going to Wembley, it was like, yeah, it was a big thing going to Wembley. But now, to be fair, Wembley's used for quite playoffs, semi-finals. It's used for, it's not a major, a big thing now going to Wembley. But I mean, Ali Pali, what's that known for? I mentioned Ali Pali, what's that known for?
Ali Pali?
Yeah.
Guano?
It's darts.
Okay.
Everybody knows darts. Ali Pali, that's what you talk about.
Aye.
Aye. So, you know, Sheffield is significant to world snooker. So, but
I mean,
time will tell.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Time will tell. And like we said, over the years, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it's not going to come in to the Crucible anymore, and it's the last year, so on and so forth. But I think, you know, like I said, there's no smoke without fire. You know, boxing, like I said, gone Dubai and all that kind of stuff already. So I believe that snooker will probably follow it over there as well, where the con is, you know. This is Sweet and we're talking sport. I've got CV here. It's No Illusion. Yeah, we're back in the studio. And let's just say that we're doing our thing. So, yeah, I mean, everybody's got opinion, and I'm all for freedom of speech and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, that creates discussion, conversation and stuff like that, and it's just another talking point that we've got on here. Another talking point, what I'll discuss is the word call captain. And very kind of like big
I'm
word
Alfie
captain.
Bull, and you're listening to Sheffield Live.
So, you know, when you hear of the word captain, you know, obviously in sport, I see that as somebody who commands the respect. He can change up certain things, whether it's strategy, can gee up the players. A born leader. That's what that word captain means for me. And the reason why I'm pulling this up is, quite recently, Wilder put our blaster, 20-year-old, as captain to lead the Blaze out at Old Trafford. Now, whether that was a masterstroke to sort of like fire a shot out to the senior players, you know, to step things up a little bit. I'm not quite sure. Nothing against our blaster, up and coming prospect from the Blades Academy. Looking good recently. There's quite a few teams sniffing around him. Blades have managed to tie him down, I think maybe to 2027. I'm not quite sure. But I'm not saying that a youth can't really kind of like lead his team out. But I just wanted to get your views on that. I mean, yeah, our blaster, his time will come. But I wasn't kind of feeling that really when I saw that kind of move from Mr. Chris Wilder.
All right. As I say, our blast, I don't really know a great deal about this young lad. My understanding is that he's got potential. And maybe the potential to be a captain in the future. But maybe now, in the predicament that Sheffield United is in, I don't really see where, what the point was of putting him in there. What's he going to say to what I call established players who've been playing in the championship for so many years? What's he going to say? How's he going to rally them up? He's going to Old Trafford. He's what, an academy player? He's what, has he played in the under 20, under 21s, 23s? What is it?
Yeah, he's come through the ranks, right. Academy graduate.
So he's coming, he's just come through the ranks and he's coming on the pitch as the captain, and he's telling people like Mike Burney, establish a champions, you know, ship players, right? Norwood and, you know, others. He's telling them, come on, and he's trying to cheer them up at Old Trafford. Funny situation.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, you got a young youth turning around to a senior player saying, you know, come on, put it in.
That's right, you're not putting it in. Come on.
Why? That's kind of like...
And then again, he's got... If that's the case, and if he's not saying that, he's having to choose his words carefully. But he's the man... He's the captain.
I saw him give thumbs up. Would that be sufficient enough?
Thumbs up for what?
That's like, say, if a player's done something good.
Okay.
Maybe G'ing him up or something. Is that a signal of intent, you know?
Right. For me, a captain, as you quite said, as you moved into this next phase, right, is someone the rest of the players look up to, right? Where people think, yeah, this guy is going to put it in. He's going to tell us. He's going to direct us. But I don't see how this young guy can do that.
Yeah, I'm kind of on that kind of same level. I mean, you know, like I said, again, you know, this is no disrespect to the player. You know, really talented lad, what the Blades have, you know, got out of their academy, and is putting some top performances as well. Not denying that. What we're saying here is that, you know, to take that armband and demand the respect of your fellow professionals on that particular level, don't really think that is level, that is ready, I should say. But, you know, like CV said, a future captain, you know, why not? I mean, Wilder's gone as far as saying, do you know what, I'm even considering him for next season. What kind of message is that sending out to your players right now? Season's not even done, and already you're saying, I'm even considering him for next season. Now, to me, I'm not sure if that is the right message to give out at that level. You're talking Premiership, supposed to be, the toughest or the best league in the world. Top fixture. Man United aren't firing on all cylinders at the moment, but that's not really the issue. The issue is, would you put somebody young like that in the position that he did? I mean, I'm just going to go through some top five young players that have actually captained their team. And in fifth place, I'm going to come up with Bellingham for Dortmund 19. Now, Bellingham, I've seen him on the pitch, he's a bit of a mouthpiece, So, he can dish it out, he can take it. I can see that. Vieira at Arsenal 19. Vieira, again, a mouthpiece. You know, the battles, what he had with Keane. Top third place, De Ligt. Ajax 19 again. Second, Neves, Porto 18. Sacco, PSG 17. But the PSG one, the Sacco, the last one, it was said it was to question the leadership of some senior players. Now, what I'm saying is that whether Wilder looked at that and said, you know what, I'm going to put this guy as captain. And he's 20, and Wilder did say that as well during the interview. Oh, yeah, he's only 20 as well. So he's making a point there to the journalists, because they're all asking him, they're all scratching their heads. Why did you put Arblaster as captain? And correct me if I'm wrong, but I didn't hear him say right, because he's a born leader, he's got them leadership skills and qualities, he demands the respect from his players and is a mouthpiece. What I heard from Wilder is that, he deserves it. He's a good player. He's played some really good football. Not denying that at all. But we're looking at the leadership qualities. And he was very quiet, oh, bless it. And I did watch him, off the ball, on the ball. And like I said, the gestures, what I saw, was thumbs up. That's like saying, well done, pal. You know what I mean? I'm not buying into that. And I certainly don't buy it, considering him for next season as well. So, for me, again, we're talking about opinions. This is mine. Whether you like it or not, whether you disagree or not, I'm disagreeing with that decision right now.
Okay, well, there's not much I can really say about that, really. Captain Wilder obviously sees something in him. Wilder thought to himself, you know what? I'm going to give this lad a chance. Let him show the rest of the boys what he's made of. But I didn't watch the game, so I can't make any comments about what he's done or his actions or whatever. I can only go on what yourself and other people may have said. And I can't. So it's not really much for me to say on that matter, really.
I mean, there was other, obviously, pros on there what could have took that armband. I mean, Fodrington, he brought him back rightly so, because Grbić, not really performing. He's brought him in as number one, you're not performing. You've got to earn your right to start. So quite rightly so, that switch was made. Osborne, again, well experienced professional out there, could have given it to him as well. Anel's been captain before, Hammer is being captain before as well. So, I think it, behind the scenes, I'm sure, things aren't as smooth as what the scene, because them players are entitled to their opinion as well. So they'll have their little pockets of conversations going on and stuff like that. And to me, that just causes a bit of
a rift in the camp.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, 100%. I mean, you know, again, when I hear the word captain, like Roy Keane comes to mind. You know what I mean? You know, he's like a rat. You know what I mean? He'll snap your legs off. You know, imagine turning up for training and you've got Keane. You know what I mean? He'd be saying, you might as well do a U-turn and go back home. You know what I mean? I'm sure Keane would have said that. Because I remember when Wrighty was saying that, he had a meeting with Keane. And Wrighty said he turned up 5 minutes late. Keane had gone. He phoned up Wright. He phoned up Keane and said, "Hey, man, where are you?" Keane said, "You're 5 minutes late. They're gone." You know what I mean? So that's the benchmark. You have to respect that, you know. Yeah, you have to respect that, man, you know. Just a little word to Chesterfield. Cookie and Anopal Cook, the manager. When I was at Chesterfield coaching, Cookie was there. So the Spirites. 6 years out of the cold, promoted to the Football League. They've gone up as champions, well done. They'll be going to places like Doncaster, Bradford, Harrogate, and Accrington Stanley. Who are they? Exactly. Yeah, you've heard it first on Sweet Talking Sport. You've got CV right here with me now. Just want to go into, before we talk about the Premiership, because that is that's going to be the cream this evening, want to talk about, have we got a double relegation in Steel City once again? Let me say double, you know. Double relegation. I'm going to call out this guy as well, Captain Mo, S11. I hope you're listening, Captain Mo. But the bookies are saying that 47% of being relegated, you know what, for me, 60%. I think they've got their figures wrong. Captain Mo, yeah? Where you there? Wally Connor.
Wow. If we're talking starting on the blue side of Sheffield, I would say they're not out of it yet. Yes, good results against Blackburn last week, but they are not out of it yet. Who they're playing tomorrow, which is West Brom. West Brom are still in there. They're fighting to be in the playoffs, aren't they? Right, they're making sure they're securing that position to be in the playoffs. So Wednesday are not going to have it easy against West Brom. And then the team below, is it Birmingham or Huddersfield? I think it might be Birmingham who's just below them, and then it's Huddersfield. Them two are playing each other. So basically, somebody has to win. If somebody, they win, and the blue half of Sheffield, and the blue half of Sheffield lose or even draw, they're backing it again.
Yeah,
100%. Right, backing it again. Now, if we turn to the red half of Sheffield, well, yeah, I would say Titanic has sunk, hasn't it? Yeah? The Titanic has sunk. And it's been at the bottom for a while. And I don't see no way of Titanic ever refloating. So I'm saying to you, Bramall Lane is the Titanic.
So what you're saying is that they said women and children first. Are you saying that the players went first?
I'm saying, yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah. I mean, to be fair, it's not actually all their fault. I mean, the chairman hasn't really helped. I mean, with the ridiculous statement, you've got 20 million to spend coming into the Premiership with 20 million. That couldn't even buy Haaland's toenail. Couldn't even buy Haaland's toenail. De Bruyne's fingertip. Right? So, 20 million. Sheffield United was in a hiding already before they even got in there. So, yeah, you know. I mean, they've done what they could do. But, nah, I'm afraid.
Hey, what's up? This is Craig done. David, and I'm right here on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
Yeah, you know, I totally agree with you, because we was on air and we said that, you know, Prince coming in and saying, yeah, 20 million to spend on players, you know, okay, he spent a little bit more than that, but that was the statement made before a ball was kicked. And I think, what kind of message are you kind of sending out to not just Sheffield United supporters, but to supporters all over? I mean, you know, 20 mil, you know, you're going to have to dip into the loan market and free transfers and stuff like that. And obviously recruitment's got their work cut out, because, you know, there's, you know, players come in and not every player's going to be a success. But I can remember a certain player coming in, his last club before the Blaze was Everton. And I thought, you know, he was just training, just doing some stuff. He wasn't linked with any club. You know, like, say, Tranmere Rovers or something like that, you know, I've not got a club, but can I keep fit? You know, on them kind of levels we're talking about. But, you know, if you're just doing it in your own backyard, you're not going to get the sort of like the all-round play what you need, you know, with your linking up play and with a ball and stuff like that. And unfortunately, that transfer hasn't really materialised very, very well. I mean, you know, he wanted to sell the club, didn't he? The Prince, he wanted to sell it. And I think his ploy was, do you know what? When Higginbottom was in charge, can a gate crash the Premiership? Yes, he can. He managed to deal with that, succeeded. And then kind of put a price on the club. Now, you know, as far as I know, they had a couple of people sniffing around it. One guy ended up in prison in America, and the other guy, you know, didn't have enough cash. I think there's a lot more than that behind the scenes, but, you know, two potential flops attempted to buy the club. Now, yeah, they'll get relegated back into the Championship. They'll be mid-table, I would have thought. I'd have thought that they'd probably collect two seasons of parachute payments that will bring him some dosh. Reassess. I know they've bought a guy called Jamie Oyland in, ex-Sheffield United player, as to recruit. You know, my opinion, I didn't think he was all that on the pitch. I know his pops had a booze around the corner, so I don't know whether that's got something to do with it neither. But, you know, free beer to the board members. Yeah, something like that. Maybe it's one of them stories what we'll never find out. But let's hope that his recruitment, yes, but, you know, I've got to give him a chance, you know. Let's hope his recruitment bears fruit, yeah, because we're watching, and we'll be out there as well with our opinions also as well. Yeah, Sheffield Wednesday, yeah, I'm going 60% for me, they're going to be down. I know Captain Mo's not going to like that. He was invited onto the show, but for whatever reason, he's dodged another bullet, just like... you know, I think we did put a request out for Mikey S8, yeah? And this guy, we had a conversation, what, a couple of weeks ago. Me and CV just finished a ride, and we, you know, CV got a call, and obviously we're chatting about Arsenal and this, that and the other. They were playing Aston Villa that weekend, and I had my little say, and I got told that I don't know anything about football. Well, what I said to Mikey is Ollie Watkins, I says he's on fire, and I said, just remember that name, and it came back to haunt him. Mikey, well, that. Will it? Yeah? Coming off finished with you, you know. I ain't finished with it, Dan. So it'd be good to have him on here, actually, so that he can defend himself. What, however he wants to defend that, yeah? We'll give him the rope, yeah? And it'll get tighter and tighter around his shorts. You know? So, yeah, Mikey. But that comes on nicely to the Premiership. This part is the cream, yeah. So quite rightly so, three horse race. Liverpool are feeling it at the moment, yeah. Klopp, 60.73% win record. And then obviously we've got Arteta. He's 58 win percent, and you know, Pep 72.94. I mean, my prediction, I'm going for same as last season, and I said to CV from time even before ball kick CMT, and I've never changed that whatsoever, and he'll tell you that himself. Now, Mikey, if you listen to that, you're not going to like it. Mr. Daly, yeah, in S1, yeah. Yeah, call you out too. Yeah? Because, you know what I mean? Now, you support your clubs and everything, but, you know, we've had this discussion about supporting and just liking a club. But for me, I ain't really entering them kind of conversations because, you know, I just say, like, a supporter, man who goes to the games, support his clubs and this, that and the other. Now, you might have an affinity with a club or you might like a club. And I put Mikey and Mr. Daly in that kind of category. And we can continue that discussion anyhow you like. And I'm just delivering this on air now. So FM, DAB, them people that listen to this, yeah, I think you'd kind of like agree with me, yeah? Listen to Sweet Talking Sport on Sheffield Live. We're talking about the gone into the Premiership now. You know, you've missed a really good show. We started off chatting about snooker and a comment what a snooker player made. Then, obviously, discussing the Arblaster situation with Wilder being captain. Big up Mr. Cook at Chesterfield. 6 years in the cold. They've got promoted to the Football League. And now we're discussing the big boys, Liverpool, Arsenal and Man City. And it just happens to be CV is Mr. City, Man City. And he can back that up because season ticket order, tell them Mr. V, talk to them.
Well, I've got to say the amount of money I have spent on following Man City, I could have brought my house twice over because I have, this is nearly my 40th year as a season ticket holder.
Wow. Just recap that. How many years?
Nearly 40.
Backside.
Nearly 40 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And I've been all over, to be fair. So when you hear these people saying things like, oh, just started support. Oh, you're on the bandwagon. Yeah. I just laugh at them because I just think to myself, well, hold on a minute. I look at this person, I think to myself, look, I've been supporting Man City longer than you've been on the earth.
Mm-mm. Wow.
You know, so, you know, but I do understand where that comes from because, you know, success breeds, you know, fame, doesn't it? It draws more people to you. So, in a way, it's similar to, like, you know, the Mickey Mouse Club that's at Old Trafford. You know, they're the same, aren't they? You know, everybody at one bit, everybody was a Manchester United fan. Who do you support? Oh, I support Manchester United. How often do you go and watch them? Oh, I can't get a ticket. Says it all, doesn't it, really? And it's sort of similar to with my club now. You know, a lot of people now. And you walk around town now and you're seeing children left, right and centre with Haaland and De Bruyne shirts on. And back in my day, you'd be lucky to see another Manchester City shirt in Sheffield. The only time you saw another City shirt is when I was at Main Road. But now, they're all over the place now. Right, so as I say, you know, success, winning things, you get all these, what I call, all of a sudden, farewell fans coming on saying that they're Man City fans and this and that and whatever. But, you know,
yeah,
this is how it is at the moment. But going back to, he's talking about the three-way race. Yeah, it still is a three-way race. Even though Liverpool got beat by Everton, there's other little pitfalls to come yet.
Yeah, it's like they're feeling the pinch a little bit more, really, Liverpool.
They are.
The
pressure is definitely there, right? And if I've got to be truthful, the Manchester City, we've been through that pressure umpteen times, so we're used to it. Arsenal, they've been in the pressure once and cracked. They cracked. You know, I mean, no matter what people want to say, when you're 8 points clear, with only a few games to go, that title's yours. But, as I've just said, the pressure came too strong for them. And the crack, you know, like crackers biscuit. Like that. You know, cream crackers biscuit. Just like that, they cracked. So, and as you know, City come through and sort of won it with about 2-3 games to go. Now this time, they're putting up a very good fight. And I will say that. They're putting up a very, very good fight. They look a very good side, to be honest. They look a good side, Arsenal. Some top players in there, Odegaard, Saka. Yeah, some good players, but
I just think that Arsenal are maybe two, maybe three world-class players of taking the title. I'll tip them next season because I think they'll be ready.
Yes, you've said that to me.
I think they'll be ready next season, but this season again. I mean, like I said, I'll go back to Pep's win percentage, 72.94, compared to Arteta, 58. That's a big gap.
It is a big gap.
That's a big gap. That.
Just remember, people will know what I mean by that.
Mikey at that ball.
No, I'm just saying in general, people will know when I say Mr. Arteta is a prento.
Yeah,
that in Yorkshire terms is he's an apprentice arcade.
Yeah,
right. So, and he's just starting out, and he's doing very well.
He is.
And he'll have picked up many different things off what I call, you know, you would call him the master.
I was just about to say that. who was his teacher.
Yeah, so he's picked up a lot of things off him.
Definitely.
Right. Just look at the way Arsenal play football.
Mm.
They play very similar to us. Right? So, yeah, I mean, I've got to give them the utmost respect. Arsenal are there. But if we're looking at the fixtures right now, this weekend, we've got Liverpool are away at West Ham. Could be another tricky game for them. Because West Ham are a little bit hit and miss. One minute they can pull off a win. The next minute they get hammered. At home they generally put on a bit of a performance. Liverpool right now, heads are down, feeling a little bit like, oh, that's it now, we're out of it.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant and you're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Yeah, but, you know, they're feeling a little bit out of it. But, you know, their manager, Mr. Klopp, he ain't going to let that go, is he? He's got something to prove. They've already won one cup already, and he wants to prove that, you know, when he leaves, yeah, this is the state that I'm leaving the club in.
Do you think, because Klopp has come public and he said, do you know what, after this season, I've gone. And maybe, just maybe, are the players now chasing the title for a different kind of thing? Instead of like in footballing terms. Now, there's only going to be a percentage of people what will kind of understand this, and it's not to be disrespectful to anybody else. But there's kind of like that desire to win the title. Or is it going to get sidetracked and thinking, yeah, we need to do this for Klopp? You know, is there a little bit of that creeping in?
There could be some of that in that. But as professionals, they have a job to do. And that job is to go out there and win games. And up until the Crystal Palace game, they were winning games. How? Not completely sure, because they had quite a few young academy players in there, and other academy players did them well. You know, they put up a good show. But that can only happen for so long. And then Crystal Palace came there and put on a little bit of a masterclass as in defending. And they came, put that ball away, 1-0, and then defended. And defended really well. Right? Then, we've gone from that. Well, I would say before the Crystal Palace game, I stand to correct, because they went, they played the Mickey Mouse Club at Old Trafford in the FA Cup and got a good win. And then they played them again at Old Trafford again in the league. And I've got to give the Mickey Mouse Club, right? I've got to give them this, right? I've got to give them this. They played well. They played well. 2-2 draw with Liverpool. Played well. That was good. Right? But you could start to see a few cracks in the Liverpool defence. Right? And yeah, again, they went to Everton Wednesday night. And they actually thought, I think, this is my opinion, but there's other people out there what might say, no, that's not what, and that's fair enough. But I felt they went there with the idea that, oh, we just have to turn up here because we're going to turn Everton over here. But Everton had got other things on their mind. They were making it sure that you're coming here, you're going to get a fight. And Everton was stuck into them straight away. And you could see it, right? And that kind of threw Liverpool out a little bit, right? And you could see Everton was on the ball. When that ball goes in, the first one, it's 1-0. You then think, oh, it's all right. Liverpool will come back, because they always do. but not this time.
I mean, I must admit, for a neutral, I was quite surprised at that result. Everton 2, Liverpool 0. And, you know, we've touched upon it. We've said that the signs of the pressure, you know, catching them, yeah. And we've just had confirmation from Mike. He said, yeah, he's gonna forward, yeah. And this is live. This is coming out live right now. He says he's gonna forward on this show, and I'm looking forward to it, yeah. So, yeah, anytime you're ready, rude boy. Yeah, we're here. We're not going away. Yeah, and you can defend your Arsenal, but by the time, Mikey, you step on here, you might be looking at the runners-up. That's possible. And remember, this is coming from a man what don't know anything about football. And I'm not going to let you live your life like that. If I have to correct somebody, I'm going to come good and correct. Yeah? Like Eubanks would say. Well, I'm not going to repeat that, what Eubanks would say, but you know where I'm coming from. Yeah? But, yeah, Mikey, you know, joking apart, it's good to hear from you. And you're most welcome on this show. You listen to Sweet and I'm Talking Sport on Sheffield Live. I've got CV right here in the studio. We're talking about the Premier League title contenders. We've touched upon Liverpool, feeling the pinch, yeah? Arteta, doing very, very good. And in my opinion, I'm just saying that I think they're two, maybe three plays short of collecting the title, but I will tip them next season. But I don't think there's going to be any change from City, Arsenal and Liverpool. But it's good that there's you know, I will include Liverpool to say that there's three teams contesting the title. It's good for football all round.
I'll still stick to it. Yeah, there's three teams trying to win the league. And right now, the people who are in control right now are Arsenal, because they are at the top. You can't say any more. They are at the top. When you look at that table, who do you see at the top?
Yeah, Arsenal at the top.
There you go.
Superior goal difference, which, you know, in modern day football, you count that as a point. But obviously City have got that game in hand. You know, I mean, yeah, I know we've you know, had a few discussions on here, and you'd rather be in that position than rather having a game in hand, because, you know, you've got to win it.
That's correct. That's what I'm saying.
You know, you've got to win it. But that's what makes football exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's what I've just said. You know, at the end of the day, they're controlling it right now. Never mind we've got a game in hand. They're controlling it right now. So, you know, we have to see where it goes.
Who's going to win it, Mr. V?
Who's going to win it?
Yeah, I've been waiting to ask you this one on there. Who's going to win it?
To win it, well, I'm going to, obviously, it's going to say my team. I'm going to say City, aren't I? I'm going to say that, right? But obviously, it's not a foregone conclusion. You've got two good teams still in there, right? So, like I said, it's anybody. You ask an Arsenal man, he's going to say it's him. If you ask a Liverpool fan, he's not so much sure that it's going to be him. You know, like, you know, you've got, if you were to ask somebody like a, you mentioned his name earlier on, Mr. Daly, and he may not be as sure about himself about Liverpool winning it again. So, you know, we'll just have to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming to, I mean, this hour's gone really quick, you know. Just a few minutes left. I'd like to thank my good friend, guest, Mr. CV. Well up to date on the sporting scene. And it's been a good one, and we'll definitely have to do this again. Yeah, we've heard from Mikey as well. He's took some stick today.
Off you.
And, you know, there's no apology. You know what I mean? there's going to be no apology coming from deceit. Yeah? But I'm really looking forward to that when Mike is here. And, you know, he'll be able to hold his corner. For a few minutes, and that's it. It's like a bonfire. You know, you start it and it has to go out. Cigarette, you light it and you've done it. Yeah?
Oh, you know? Dear.
You know? You play with fire, you're going to get burned, Mikey. You know? And you're talking first degree burns. Yeah? This is Sweet and I'm talking Sports Sheffield Live. Yeah? You know, same, I joke with you, Mikey, yeah? I need to take time. Yeah, I need to take time.
Well, like I said, we will see. We will see at the ending of May, is it?
Yeah.
The ending of May, so we'll see. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, so. Definitely. I mean, have your say, and if there's anybody out there listening to Sweet Talking Sport and you want to big up your team or... You know, you want to talk about your sporting event, or if you've met anybody interesting and you want to come in here, please do. You know, your pleasure will be my pleasure. This is Sweet Talking Sport.
Sheffield, made by you.
Hello, this is Nat Johnson and you're listening to Sheffield Live, number one for Sheffield music. You're listening to Sheffield Dawn on 93.2 FM, Sheffield Live.
1-2-1-2, how's it going? This is Shlomo, you're listening to Sheffield Live.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
And we could turn the winter into spring. If she needs someone to help her make things right. If she just wants someone. If she needs someone, let me be the one. Lend a healing hand, well, I would be the one.